Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch. This is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair, broadcasting to you live, as is true every week. But this week, not from the Gene Boss studio, but from the original studio for Voice of Vashon up at Sunrise Ridge, because we have some technical challenges, and part of those technical challenges are that last week we also were not able to record, and so all of Captain Joe's people who have been looking in vain for last week's broadcast on the archive will continue to look in vain, because it cannot be recovered to be recorded, but this one is. I am assured by Captain O'Brien, who is always truthful with your captain, that this one is being recorded, and that, in fact, you will be able to get it on the archive once we have finished going through a process which is called trimming. This is not the same as trimming an airplane or trimming out a ship, but it is a piece of electronic magic which I have not completely mastered, and which is why I'm always so glad when Captain O'Brien is sitting next to me, which he is right this very minute. So this is our first broadcast of the new year of 2022, and I have to report honestly on the Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band, and streaming live all over the world, from Singapore on one side of the world to the Kingdom of Sweden on the other, on streaming live on voiceofvashon.org. I have to honestly report that 2021 was a better year for your captain than 2020, and I am confident, because I am going to make it so, that 2022 is going to be a better year than 2021. We had many, many entries on the binnacle list, and I have to report today that according to my own elaborate record-keeping system, that we have not been able to remove many people from the binnacle list. And so I'm going to make a tribute right here to all of the medical practitioners. I have personal friends who are physicians, and I have two grandchildren who are nurses. And my heart is worried about all of them every single day. I know that they're all taking the proper precautions. I know all of those things are happening. And yet, people who have taken all of the proper precautions still end up on the binnacle list. Our own Secretary of Defense, General Austin, is on the binnacle list. And he certainly had to have been both vaccinated and boosted, and God only knows whatever else was done that a secretary can do. Probably no different than all the rest of us who have also been vaccinated and boosted. If you are numbering yourself amongst those who have not yet done any or all of those things, then please, it is my wish, my desire, and insofar as I can command anything in this world anymore, that everyone who should be does, and make it so. I'm reminded of in Vietnam, where we had a medication called Primaquine, and I understand that that medication is still being used in the Middle East to combat malaria. And it was not a matter of choice that any of my crew in my Ingham would refuse to take it, even though some of them got a little bit snarky after they had taken it, that it was a weekly ingestion. The master at arms had a list of ship's company, a roster of ship's company, and he checked everybody off. The chief corpsman would take the captain's dose up to the cabin, and I would be the first one in the queue to get mine in the line where the crew would line up to get the Primaquine. It was not a matter of choice. Everybody did it, and it wasn't even a subject of discussion. And why we are discussing this in our military is beyond my ken. I do not understand it. So, carrying on with some of my regular features, because we're doing both a little bit of catching up and a couple of new things that we're going to bring forward. So at Anchor this morning, and has been there for the last 6 days, is Ever Ethic. Ever Ethic is a fleet mate to the Ever Given, the ship that got herself thwartships across the Suez Canal and blocked it up for about a week. Ever Ethic is a much smaller ship. She is about 6,000 TEUs. You all will remember that those are 20-foot container equivalents. She can carry about 6,000 of them. Right now, it looks to me like she's about two-thirds loaded. And if you take a look at her, she's loaded very interestingly because the containers are sloped such that the captain and the watch officers up on the bridge have a fairly clear view down the slope of the containers, the top of the containers, all of which, so far as I can tell, are 40-footers, by the way. And so she is not quite down to her marks. You can still see a little bit of the boot topping. The red paint that you see below the hull color, that first streak of red paint that you see below the hull color in the case of Ever Ethic is black, is called boot topping. And her boot topping is showing about maybe a foot. So she's nowhere near down to her marks, but she is loaded. She came from China, and she's waiting to get alongside a container unloading facility in the port of Tacoma. What is she carrying in those containers? Well, iPhones probably, Christmas crackers to replenish the stocks that were all used up at the Christmas celebrations. I celebrated Christmas with my daughter and my granddaughter and my son-in-law and some new friends, and we all had Christmas crackers, a great tradition which comes from England. And the and whatever else she may be carrying, vital commodities, no doubt. You all will remember that one time we were wondering where the stock for model stores, model shops. And then it came to my attention that there were a number of model kits that came from China and came from Taiwan, came from Korea, and they were in some containers, and in fact, in some of the containers that went over the side. You remember that one of the Maersk ships lost 2,000 containers off the coast of Japan about a year ago. So she's been there for a week, she is of particular interest to me because she's one of the few ships that is registered still in the United Kingdom. And the ships are registered in other countries for the same reason that most shippers do not register in the United States. They register in the United States only if they're going to carry from one U.S. port to another, because the Jones Act requires that they be U.S. flag vessels. Otherwise, for crew manning purposes and for cost reasons, most ships of the world are registered in some other place. Liberia, Panama, the Marshall Islands, and in most cases, the ships that wear those flags have never been to their hailing port. The hailing port is the port which is painted on the stern underneath the ship's name, and also in latter days also has her IMO number. The that's International Maritime Organization, headquartered in London, and that is the United Nations organization which deals with all things maritime. It is from the International Maritime Organization that we get such things as the rules of the road, for example, and manning levels and training requirements, and it is an incredibly complex bureaucracy, And the people who sailed in the great sailing ships and the great grain races would not recognize the maritime world as we know it today. I find it hard to recognize it myself. And of course, because I was a captain in military ships, I did not have to deal with a lot of that, but I became very familiar with much of it as in my shore assignments in the Coast Guard. So the reason that she's been there for some time, normally ships, container ships, don't sit on that anchorage for that length of time. And if she's still there by the next time that we foregather here, a week from now, I will have called the Vessel Traffic Service and found out exactly what is holding her up. Speaking of our next broadcast, a week from today, I am going to Hawaii for about 10 days, and I'm going to be doing my broadcast next week, probably from SeaTac by telephone, and the one after that will be by telephone from the Big Island of Hawaii. And I have always been able to work out with Truman, with Captain O'Brien, an arrangement where no matter where I am in the world, that I'm able to do my broadcast live. And we're going to be doing that next week as well. So if she's still on the anchorage, I'll find out exactly why she's there for so long and make a report. We talked some time ago about the motor vessel Wakashio. She ran aground off of the coast of Mauritius in the Indian Ocean. And she, not only did she run aground, but she spilled 1,000 tons of what is characterized in the press release as heavy oil. Now, because she's a motor vessel, she burns diesel, does not burn heavy oil. So what I don't know is whether or not she was carrying that as cargo, or whether or not her particular engines were set up to burn a very inexpensive and heavier oil than is normally used in diesel engines. And so, but the grounding was a great tragedy for the island of Mauritius. It was even more of a tragedy because of the lack of professionalism by her captain and by her chief mate, both of whom were charged with dereliction of duty, where they were convicted in a Mauritius court. They were imprisoned while they were awaiting trial, and upon being convicted, they were given a sentence of 20 months, and most of those 20 months they've already served while they were awaiting trial. But the sad part about this, and the part which is gives me no pleasure to report, and yet it is necessary that we know about these things because it is public knowledge that brings pressure to bear on shipping companies and on the professional attitudes of captains in particular. Captains are the people, that's the group of people to which I belong. And so I want all captains to be, first of all, showing no fear, and secondly, to be professionally at the top of their profession, and third, to be morally and ethically sound. And this captain was none of those things. The ship did not have the proper charts. She was on autopilot. Her watch officer was on the bridge alone. The lookout had been allowed to lay below to go to a birthday party for a crew member. The captain had laid below to go to that same birthday party, at which alcohol was consumed. All of these things fly in the face of good professional integrity and ethics. And yet it's important that we know about these things so that the moral pressure of at least the maritime world can be brought to bear against the company that owns her and against the captain himself. It's the same principle as when Costa Concordia was run aground and her captain had done that to satisfy some request for a little bit of off-course joyriding. A lovely, if you like the appearance of those ships, I'm not particularly partial to the appearance of cruise ships today, but in any case, a fine ship. And she was had to be lifted off of the rock in which she had impaled herself. And her salvage was an incredibly complex and expensive thing. And then she was taken to the breakers' yards, to the knackers' yards. The ultimate humiliation. I've told you before, I tell you again, that I have seen one of my ships, my much-loved Northwind, my icebreaker. I've seen photographs of her as she was being broken up. And there is nothing that can get closer to the heart of a captain who loved a ship, who had served that ship well, as she had served her crew, she had served the service, she had served the nation for decades. And then to see her taken apart and to be taken down beyond her underwear was a sad, sad thing. I don't know whether the captain of Costa Concordia had that same feeling about his ship. I like to think that every captain believes that his ship and the relationship that he has with that ship is one of the most important relationships in his life. Ships talk to their captains, by the way. Some captains don't listen, don't pay attention. But the fact remains that they do. So the magazine this week is once again The Week. And it has two pieces in it. You know that I get The Week about 2 weeks after the date on the cover, because it comes to me, this particular one comes from, is mailed in Sweden, but it actually comes from London. And it has two pieces in it which are of particular interest to me this week. And the first one is that there is a book that is in the book review section about a character in English history named Chips Channon, C-H-A-N-N-O-N. Chips was a member of parliament. He was at the beginning of the Hitler era. He was an advocate of Adolf Hitler. And he also was very highly connected in the English, the British, and in particular the English aristocracy. He kept a diary. And for years, the diary, once he died, the diary was available only in an expunged version. But an editor has finally gotten the ability to publish the diaries in an unexpurgated version. And I'm going to read just a little bit of the review for the book, and because it's one that I'm going to try to get hold of. The title of the book is Henry Chips Channon, The Diaries, 1918 to 1938, edited by Simon Heffer. And Simon, the praise in the review in the week says, "The character that emerges from these diaries is in turns nosy, touchy, needy, conceited, snobbish, disloyal, wrong-headed, voyeuristic, sycophantic, and shifty. All of them qualities most helpful to a great diarist." And Simon is quoting another reviewer by the name of Craig Brown writing in The Spectator. So anybody who has all of those qualities has got to be a very interesting person about whom to read. And so I am going to see if I can get hold of a copy of this book for my own reading. And I am not advocating that anybody try to track it down and buy it here in America. But certainly it is a really interesting person, and those should be very interesting books. And we need some things of interest always in our lives. The second thing is the listing of properties. In this particular week, the listing of properties were seaside properties. And over on the Isle of Wight, the Isle of Wight is on the south coast of England, and it is a place where Queen Victoria had one of her homes. And so here's the listing for the Isle of Wight. And I am counting up how many pounds sterling I have in my still available Barclays Bank. I had an account with Barclays when Mary R. and I lived in the UK, and I still keep getting little reminders that should I choose to reopen the account, they would be delighted to have my custom. And I'm counting up, and I think I've got about 3 pounds 20 left, and that's not quite going to make it here. But this is a fascinating listing. On the Isle of Wight, an established small holding mentioned in the Domesday Book of 1086. This grade two manor is a delightful property that has been an inhabited farm for at least the last 1,000 years. Set on high ground, the house has views off the south coast of the island. And it goes on to describe the property. And then the last line always is how much it costs, which in this case is 2 million pounds sterling, and the telephone number where I can give a call and put in my bid for this property. The grade two, by the way, refers to its historical value. There are several grades. A grade two building is one that is of significant historical value, and you cannot do anything to it, which will change it. The Baker Building at the Scott Poer Research Institute is also a grade two building. It was built in 1934, as was your captain, built in 1934. So we've talked about the magazine, the book this week. The book this week is called Never to Return. The subtitle is Surviving the Worst Combat Loss in the History of the U.S. Coast Guard. And it talks about the torpedoing and loss of the USS Leopold. Leopold and Joyce and several other DEs were Navy ships. That's why they are called USS, United States ships. But they were manned completely by Coast Guard crews, Coast Guard officers, and Coast Guard crews. That meant that they were not entitled to fly the distinctive bunting or flags called bunting to sailors. They were not entitled to fly the bunting that a Coast Guard cutter is required to fly by statute. So in all of my ships, starting at the top or the truck, was the commissioning pennant, a Coast Guard distinctive commissioning pennant, different from a Navy one. And that raises an interesting question. Since the commanding officer of the Leopold and Joyce and a number of others of these DEs were Coast Guard officers, were they entitled to fly their own distinctive commissioning pennant, the commissioning pennant being the mark of the commanding officer? Next down would have been the Coast Guard ensign, known in the Coast Guard as the short stripes. And is required to be flown by all of our ships and boats whenever they are engaged in any kind of law enforcement mission. It is very much like the U.S. Customs flag, except that it has the Coast Guard seal out on the fly. The book is written by a gentleman by the name of Randall Pepper, and is co-authored by a retired Army colonel. And it has a lot of not only information about the sinking of Leopold, but also of some of the things that happened in connection with that. For example, the crew did not get Purple Hearts until long, long after the whole thing was recorded, and long after the war. And there were a number of people who were killed when the torpedo hit, And there were a number of people who drowned or died from exposure after that. It's a fascinating book, and the sequel that goes with it is equally fascinating along with the story itself. And so I am recommending this. I was able to get this one it came from Barnes & Noble. And that allows me to say that for Barnes & Noble is having a big sale. And if you are a reader, and I hope that everyone who are Captain Joe's people are indeed readers, that if you are a reader, that you will go on to the Barnes & Noble website. And I advocate for Barnes & Noble because I advocate for every single live bookstore. And Barnes & Noble is one that you can go on online and order a lot of things. And I found a number of Coast Guard-related books. There are others that I'll be talking about in future broadcasts. But if you are interested in augmenting your library, then now's a good time to go on to the Barnes & Noble website and to see if they have anything which will be of interest to you. And if you will make purchases from Barnes & Noble, you will be fulfilling one of the captain's programs, and that is to save bookstores so that we will have them for our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. In the Navy Times, interesting articles about our Navy. I always want to talk about things military, about things nautical, about things that affect Captain Joe's people, whether they are on active duty or whether they are retired or whether they are just interested in things that in which I'm interested, and that's the point of the From the Captain's Chair. So Navy Times says, has just given us a report that two things are happening in Navy personnel, the Bureau of Navy personnel. And the first one is that there are reconfiguring tour links so that sailors in the seagoing ratings, bosun's mates, for example, will be spending more time at sea. I can only applaud this. I can only wonder why there are so many people who are ashore who should be at sea about their father's business. And so I think that the Navy is headed in the right direction in this regard. The other thing that was in that same article from Navy Times was that Navy maternity uniforms are being overhauled. I don't know if that's quite the right word for maternity uniforms. They are being changed, and they're going to be issued as part of the issue sea bag for Navy enlisted ladies who require such uniforms of the day. And when they no longer require them, then they are to be returned, which I think is an interesting phenomenon. And I'm wondering how, whether this is going to generate an entire whole new bureaucracy of people who keep track of maternity uniforms in the United States Navy to make sure that they all get returned. In other news that came from the same Navy Times article was a story about yet another one of the littoral combat ships. You all know my feelings about them. I think I've made that pretty clear. There are ships that are in search of a mission, and they are incredibly complex, depending on which variant you talk about. They are incredibly complex, and they are incredibly unreliable, and they have had all kinds of mechanical problems, and now they're beginning to have personnel problems. And one of the reasons for that is that the Navy assigns two crews to each one. There's a blue crew, and I think they call the other one the gold crew, just the same way that the Boomer submarines have been in the past and maybe still are manned with two different crews. Well, the problem with that is that a crew needs to belong to the ship, and the ship needs to belong to the crew. And when you hand off to one to the other, then you are no longer having that sense of ownership in this, what to a civilian would look like just a big piece of steel, but to you is your home. And so what has happened there is that the Blue Crew commanding officer and XO both have been relieved in the USS Montgomery, Blue Crew Montgomery. And the reason that they've been relieved was that they handled or mishandled a sexual harassment suit investigation, and we've talked about that. It remains beyond my ken, and I'm looking at my large Omega watch, and it's telling me that I've got 1 minute left to go, and that is for me then to say to all of you that once again, from the captain's chair, if you are responsible for other people, that you take care of them, you watch out for their six children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren are especially precious to us and are especially at risk now, and so do everything that can be done to keep all of them safe. This is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair, on station and watching properly. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again.
Voice of Vashon is your island connection. Streaming at voiceofvashon.org and broadcasting at 101.9 FM, KVSHLP, Vashon.
VOV programming is brought to you by Vashon Island Baking Company, serving handmade pastries and island-roasted coffee in the heart of town. And Glass Bottle Creamery, your source for small-batch, island-made ice cream and frozen desserts. And soon, arcade games.
This portion of Voice of Vashon programming is brought to you by PSCCU, proud to be Washington's green credit union, practicing socially responsible banking by supporting sustainability, job creation, local economies, communities statewide, and our environment. Learn more at psccu.org.
You're listening to Voice of Vashon, your island connection, at 101.9 FM, KVSHLP, Vashon.